Hi-ho, Tudor minded people. It's Philadelphia Carrie for Tudor Time Machine. The word I share with you this week is con. I have told you how my brother, the good Baron Hudson, and I attended the Globe Theatre, and how I encountered in the tiring room of that place a very special player, one whom I shall call R.B. Friends, oh, friends, I admit it. I shall not dissemble. I shall confess that I have conned each expression and line of that miraculous man's face. Yes, yes, I must only close my eyes, and I can see his visage shining with intelligence and true genius. Oh, he is beneath me, a mere player, a commoner born and bred in the merchant class of the city, a man with a profession, oh, horrors! Who must con his part, play upon the wooden O, and count his takings afterwards. He drinks in the common tavern, and rents his rooms, ay me! It is only as a player that he comes to court to entertain the high-born such as I. It is only as Hamlet or Lear or Richard the Third that he dons borrowed majesty and plays at being my equal. But Cupid, oh, Cupid is a fickle boy! His arrows fly. He pauses not to con the fitness of his coupling. He shoots. We fall.
Con, how now, Tudor Files? What think you? If you're new here, I'm Gage.
I'm Jessica.
And we're here with a very smitten Philadelphia Carrie for Tudor Word of the Week.
Don't miss a word and listen to the Tudor Time Machine Story Project. So diverting. And I pray bid you tell and ningle, and ring the little YouTube bell, la 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 la.
Tudor Files, thank you for listening. Every one of you has the wit of Rosalind and the heart of Cordelia.
And don't be shy about writing to Philadelphia on YouTube or suggesting words. We love hearing from you.
How do you spell our Tudor Word of the Week, Philadelphia?
Oh, 'tis so simple. Must you ask, dear Gage? C-O-N.
So now we use this word to mean against.
And also to swindle, like a con game, a con artist.
But in the 16th century, it had a very different meaning. It meant to learn by heart, to commit something to memory.
Right, so you might con a poem.
Or in the world of Philadelphia's beloved Richard Burbage, an actor might con a part.
My beloved Richard Burbage? My dear Gage!
Well, you were speaking of him, right? He famously played Richard III, Hamlet, and Lear. He conned all those famous roles you spoke of. That's all gone down in the history books. And now you are his Kiki Wiki.
Itikins! His Kiki Wiki? How you declare and broadcast to the world with such a loo? Be more discreet, more hugger-mugger, more clandestine. Be you the town crier?
No, but what is the problem, Philadelphia? The man is a great actor. It's pretty natural that you would see him on the stage at the Globe, acting William Shakespeare's fantastic lines. He's being amazing, and then you fall for him. He is a Tudor celebrity. In our world, celebrity is the highest class. We like celebrities way more than we like our leaders or our aristocrats.
Is it so? How strange. I fear that goes against the great chain of being. I'm afraid I must go against the great chain of being, for Master Burbage is a poor player.
That struts and frets his hour upon the stage.
But Philadelphia, Burbage was not a poor player, but apparently a really, really good one.
I think Philadelphia means that Burbage is a poor player. He is of low rank, not a bad actor.
Ah, I see. It's the rank again.
Philadelphia, as you say yourself, you can't always control who you fall in love with. What does Hermia say in Midsummer's Night Dream about love? Oh, cross, too high to be enthralled, too low. Philadelphia, give our listeners a quick summary of the story of the play where everyone falls in love with the wrong person.
It takes place on the eve of the nuptials between Hippolyta and Theseus. In short, there are two young men of Athens who both desire the noble Hermia. The one, Demetrius, was betrothed to the noble Helena. Hermia's father desires her to marry Demetrius, not Lysander, her chosen swain. There is a great deal of running about in the forest of Athens, and there are fairies, and their king Oberon, and their queen Titania, and all are bewitched by one Puck to fall in love with the wrong person, and it is all quite fanciful. At last, all is put right, and three happy couples are wed.
And the mechanicals are workmen who put on the tragedy of Pyramus and Thisbe to entertain at the wedding.
And the star of the play is Bottom, a weaver. I always think of Bottom as kind of the ultimate bad actor. I mean, like, actor who's not good, not like somebody who does the wrong thing. And he's just such a pain in the ass as a company member of these mechanicals. First, he wants to play all the parts. He wants to play Pyramus. He wants to play Thisbe. He wants to play the moon. He wants to play the wall. He tries to direct the whole thing. And he's super stagey and over the top. He chews the scenery. And then in the last act of the play, he just has an absurd death scene as Pyramus and just totally goes over the top with everything.
And he also has a lot of suggestions for Peter Quinn, who's the writer and director of the piece. You can tell that Shakespeare had to deal with a lot of overbearing actors who had issues with their parts and the words that they were supposed to say. Then is now. And at the end of their first rehearsal, what does Peter Quince say to his players, Philadelphia?
He says, "But masters, here are your parts, and I am to entreat you, request you, and desire you to con them by tomorrow night, and meet me in the palace wood, a mile without the town by moonlight. There we will rehearse, for if we meet in the city, we shall be dogged with company, and our devices known. In the meantime, I will draw a bill of properties, such as our play wants. I pray you, fail me not."
Guys, con your parts.
Learn your lines. Come on, let's get serious about this show.
Despite all the mixed up love matters in Midsummer Night's Dream, it ends up with three happy couples. And I wish you the same with your amour, Philadelphia.
I thank you, my dear Ningle Gage. And I do believe I am destined to succeed. Can it be that I, who am so lofty, should be scorned by a mere actor?
Oh, never.
Perhaps after we consummate our passion, I shall consent to help dear R.B. to con his lines for the next great role, to give him his cues and add my little all to his great talent. 'Tis to be desired. So give heed, Tudor Files. Add some 16th century sauce to your vocabulary with con. Listen in next time. Don't miss a word. Subscribe on YouTube and give me a like.